You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host Kevin Pelton,
and I'm Tristan Carcino.
And for the first time in a long time, we're doing. We used to call this an emergency pod. Is that what we called this?
Hello.
Because the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, it's not the WNBA lottery.
Good news for the Storm. Los Angeles Sparks did not get the number one pick. Paige Beckers is not at the moment heading to LA.
There we go. You get an emergency with an emergency pod within the emergency pod.
Oh, of course. Always. Look, the Seattle Seahawks have defeated an NFC West opponent. The Seattle Seahawks have defeated the San Francisco 49ers for the first time since the 2021 season. It's been a minute, and they did it in thrilling comeback fashion where there was never a doubt had it all the way.
I was going to say, what year is it? There is a new platform from the founders of Twitter that is thriving. The Seahawks are winning a game with a last-second drive led by their star quarterback. The Seahawks own the San Francisco 49ers. The dream of the 2010s is alive in Seattle, baby.
Wow, bring it back. It is.
I don't think we have ever been so back as we are in this very moment.
Can you win a game in the first quarter? Wait, is that not Mike McDonald's slogan?
Hello. I will say parts of this game, there were moments of this game that felt very Pete Carroll-ish, but in the
moments
end,
of this game, there have been moments
honestly, this felt very Pete Carroll-ish in a good way. That's what I'm saying right now.
Yes.
The Seahawks beat the 49ers. Yes, Geno had the amazing drive. Yes, the offense stepped up at the end. But the thing that happened in this game in Santa Clara, California, was the Seahawks defense against the 49ers, who gained 400 plus yards on the road last week against a good Tampa Bay defense, more or less shut down that 49ers offense. And that was the thing that was going to be frustrating about this one. When we stared defeat in the eyes, the thing that was going to be frustrating about it was how good this defense played and that the offense let them down, because they had an amazing performance. They had the takeaways. They had the stops in the key moments. Yes, they gave up a couple touchdowns, but if you give up 17 points to the 49ers at home, that is a great performance overall from almost anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Like the Geno Smith takes were about to get ratcheted up to 11 had the Seahawks lost this game, playing the way that they did defensively. And then instead, you know, call an ambulance, but not for me, because Geno delivered an incredible final drive there. But you're right, from the big picture standpoint, like I think even if the Seahawks had lost this game, I was going to be somewhat encouraged, because finally the Seahawks have a defensive head coach who is actually producing above average defenses, which it didn't seem like was going to be the case for, you know, the first 8 games of this season, I guess I would say, through the Buffalo game. And whatever clicked in after, you know, a full week with Ernest Jones in the lineup, all of a sudden, this team is not only stopping the run, they're excelling at stopping the run. And even though they had some difficulty on third and long, as you alluded to, this was still an overall very good defensive performance by the Seahawks.
And that's a hard Niners team to get off the field. But we saw Christian McCaffrey come back. And I told you the one thing that I was a little bit encouraged by this week was Christian McCaffrey didn't run the ball particularly well against the Buccaneers last week. And the Niners said in this game, they said, this is your backfield. Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason wasn't out there. And I can tell you right now, if they were handing the ball off to Jordan Mason, I am way more scared than I am of Christian McCaffrey as a runner. But the Seahawks absolutely shut him down. They figured out a lot of those problems. Who needs linebackers, right? Ernest Jones played himself a hell of a game. They came up with the crucial stop in that moment. Kyle Shanahan, I know he hates it. He made an aggressive play on the last series for the 49ers, or the last full series for the 49ers, when they chose to pass. The Seahawks were kind of stuffing things a little bit on the line, and it was like, hey, this doesn't look like some Seahawks teams we've seen in the past. They're getting in the backfield. They are stopping Christian McCaffrey on these plays that they know that the Niners are needing to run. Even with the penalty that happened, they still got back there. They got the loss on first down in the series that eventually led to the punt. They got the loss on first down, and then the Niners come out and pass, and it was a bold move. looking at it, the timeout that they saved ended up being pretty huge for the Seahawks in that moment, did it not? Because
Yes.
they had just exactly the right amount of time on that drive for Geno. So that decision, you could, and it was an aggressive move overall, and the Seahawks stopped it. They went up and made a defensive play. They got an incomplete pass to Deebo Samuel, and that really kind of pinpointed down to that play, and then obviously the Seahawks drive after that. You have Kobe Bryant. Juwan Jennings had been breaking tackles all game, right? There was a previous third down that Juwan Jennings had three people around him and ran for 5 extra yards.
I think it
Kobe
was
Bryant,
four.
11. Kobe Bryant on that third down pass to Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings breaks the tackle at first, but Kobe Bryant comes, stays with it, pushes him out
Was
of
just
bounds.
enough.
Just enough gets him out of bounds. The clock keeps running, so the Seahawks have to use the timeout. But that play that Kobe Bryant made was another massive play. So those two back to back put the Seahawks into this position that Greg Olsen was talking about it, who had kind of a so-so game, still like Greg Olsen, but Greg Olsen was talking about it that the Seahawks heading into that final drive didn't need to stress about the clock that much. They just needed to get down the field.
It got a
And that's
little hairier for a second there than I was hoping.
they ended up with exactly the right amount of time, because what have we seen too many times? And this is, you're a blind optimist when you're like, oh fuck, we're going to score too soon, right? And
I
so
don't know where that qualifies on the optimism pessimism scale.
it's right in between. It's optimism because you expect a score,
Believe that's neutral.
neutral, neutral. But you are, it's both positive, but then you also balance it out with the negative. But we've seen it so many times where it's like they're going to score too soon. They're going to have 40 seconds left on the clock. The Niners are going to come down, kick a field goal or whatever, tie the game, send it to overtime and win. And 12 seconds is a beautiful thing to have been on the clock.
I mean, it
An
would have been
amazing
poetic if it
thing.
was 12 seconds. It was actually 11, wasn't it?
I think it was 12 exactly. But having those seconds on the clock where it's like, this is like Gino did the good
No, it
night
was
thing to the
12.
crowd. And I was kind of like, it's a little too early, Gino. I'm like, we should have a healthy amount of fear in this moment, but it was just enough time that it was basically like they had to get into field goal range in one pass, and they knew that. It was more or less like Hail Mary time. Seahawks shut it down in a great couple of plays,
Terrific.
but they shut it down, and we leave San Francisco victorious at 5-5. So I was wondering about this before we talk maybe even a little bit more granular. This is the most satisfying Seahawks victory since.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there had to be something in the 2022 season. I mean, obviously the Denver game was a remarkably satisfying victory, especially as someone who predicted it completely.
The one that I will be honest, the 2020, you're talking about the 2021 season?
No, that was 2022, wasn't it? Am I misremembering here? 2021 is the season where Russell Wilson was injured. 2022 is Geno Smith's first year as starting QB.
Okay. So they did make the playoffs. I will argue, not that many satisfying wins that season. They had a
I
win
mean,
at LA 27-23, which I honestly have very little recollection of. And then they dropped three straight, losing to maybe that Panthers team wasn't bad. Or no, that was when the Panthers ran all over us, where it was like they just lined up. It was fucking, I can't remember who was playing quarterback, but they just ran like crazy, came in here, beat
I
us.
want to say it was Darnold at that point. I don't think it was PJ Walker.
It might have been Darnold. So I was thinking it's either, if you want to be an optimist about satisfying wins, the win that they had Monday Night Football against the Giants when Spoon really broke out was a pretty satisfying game.
Yeah,
Drew
last
Lock
year
beating the Eagles.
at the Lions.
But the one that I was pinpointing was the first one against the Lions or the previous season against the Lions. But all
Yeah.
these are kind of like, there's something about beating the team that has been to the Super Bowl that has haunted you for so many years in a row. Seeing Nick Bosa, who we might suggest he do something at the end of this podcast, on the sideline being frustrated. Just the Niners not looking like the Niners. Like Brock Purdy to me is a weirdly scary quarterback, but
Yeah.
just seeing them be frustrated by your defense. And it was like, that's what Pete Carroll did. That's what those Seahawks defenses did. And Mike McDee's done a little bit of tinkering along the way. And you're kind of like, the thing that I was thinking about was, even when I was thinking
Wait,
about
wait,
what we would talk about.
wait. We gotta make an all-takes Tristan reference here because we have gone from Seahawks best defense in the NFL. Is that the early take, right? to don't ever hire defensive coaches, to all of a sudden Mike McDonald got that, Mike McD got the juice.
We'll see. I did not utter the word the juice yet. It is a
Okay,
remains
Mike
to be
McD
seen.
ate heir to Pete Carroll's throat.
They have played two consecutive games against pretty good NFC West offenses and have outgained them in both of those games. That is as far as I'm willing to go.
So would you like to know the last time the San Francisco 49ers averaged fewer than 5 yards per play against your Seattle Seahawks?
Oh my God, when was it?
I mean, it's not that long ago. It was November 2019.
I mean, that was all, not that long ago. 5 years?
I
Was it that
believe,
long ago?
is this the game where we had
There
the
was a
emergency?
whole pandemic between then.
I'm
Do
aware.
you know who was president when that happened?
I do. Fun fact. This is a game that you were in LA for, right? This is the Jimmy G retire game,
Yeah,
right?
that was a long time ago. Jadeveon Clowney had massive plays in this game.
Okay, but you were making it sound like it was like 2013 or something. Like it
Five
was
years is
the
a long time, especially
who
because we were
was the
like,
coach after Harbaugh? Our guy, the defensive line coach.
oh my God.
Oh, I can picture
I
him,
want to
but
call him Mike Mangino, but I
I
know that's
cannot
not it.
know. No, it is not the former Kansas coach, Mike Mangino. I'll look that up.
But it has been a long time
I
since
mean, the
something like
last two
this has
times they
happened.
played the Niners have averaged 9.9 and 7.9 yards per
Jesus
play.
Christ. So 9.9 was Thanksgiving last year. Is that
No,
right?
it wasn't.
That was this
Thanks.
year?
No, it was the game in San Francisco, in the Bay Area last season in December, which I paid almost zero attention to because I was in Las Vegas and flying home. On Thanksgiving, actually, the Niners' offense was not that potent. It was more that the Seahawks' offense was that bad.
So they played them 2 out of 3 weeks, and
Correct.
they gave up almost a first down per play in the second of those.
Correct.
I mean, look, it's a different
And
Niners team.
that was the game that was closer of those two.
Yeah, I'm willing to accept that Brandon Ayuk isn't there. George Kittle didn't play. I don't give a fuck about those things. We're not taking an asterisk with this win. It is a W. If we play the Niners again this year, that would be a great scenario. That would be an amazing outcome. So,
That would be fascinating, although it seems like a bit of an either or, which is why what makes this game so important for the Seahawks.
it is such a feel-good win in a way
Jim
that beating the
Tomsula.
Lions, yeah, Jim Tomsula, beating the Lions kind of can't be. Like, none of those have been in that way. The ones that I remember as being so satisfying were previous victories. Probably the last time we beat the Niners, right? It was a Jimmy G game where they haunted him. They almost scored at the goal line, and the Seahawks had a stop. That was probably the 20, I don't even know,
Well,
2022 season.
they beat them in 2021, both times that they faced
Okay.
off.
Yeah, the 2021 home game was kind of the last time that I remember that. So this one, overall, finally getting past that hump, this one felt good.
Yeah. And look, you mentioned Bosa on the sidelines, hatless, looking disappointed. Like his injury dramatically changed this game. And if there was a disappointment, it was that the Seahawks offense didn't really get on track the first 2.5 quarters, despite having Abe Lucas and DK Metcalf back. Not clearly, Abe Lucas not at 100%, not playing every series, and they aren't at full strength as we teased on the podcast because Noah Fant was not back out there in this one, but still pretty close. And it really took until Bosa went out for this offense to get going. But once they did, I mean, you look at their last, their last. How many drives here is it? 11 plays for 70 for the touchdown to take the lead, 10 plays for 33 yards, which was the fourth and one failures that looked like it was going to cost them the game, and then 11 plays 80 yards for the winning touchdown. That's three consecutive drives of double digit plays for the offense.
I mean, it was basically the entire second half, right? So when you look at the second half, the interception that Geno Smith was just awful. But you talk about Noah Fant, and I love AJ Barner. I think AJ Barner has been awesome so far. But AJ Barner has a pass that probably should have, he probably should have catches on second down. And Geno just put it right there. He doesn't come up with it. And then he throws the pick right after that. From that point forward, the Seahawks could have scored touchdowns on basically every single series. My favorite thing about football is how what you care about after the game changes, because, and this is probably true of every sport, but because of, like, we were so ready for this to be the game that we complained about. They didn't give Geno the first down when he seemingly obviously had it on a third down run on that previous series, right? And then Charbonnet, where I'm kind of like, if Geno missed this, we're talking like a half inch. And so if Zach Charbonnet goes past the line of scrimmage, it is a first down. Like, those two things cannot be true together. And Zach Charbonnet didn't go backwards, and he didn't stay exactly the same.
I thought Zach Charbonnet went backwards, so I disagree with that. I thought the third down was probably
And
a
the other
first
thing
down.
was, we were so ready to complain about, at least I was, about the play call in that situation. I think Greg Olsen nailed it, honestly. You pick it up most of the time, but like not doing anything, just lining up old school smash mouth football. It's like, who are you, Ryan Grubb? What, who replaced you in this moment? All of that is out the window. They have an amazing drive. DK comes up with an awesome catch. JSN with an awesome catch, we should definitely recognize. I think JSN, after that, for after the Rams game a couple of weeks ago, definitely his breakout game. It's getting a little bit more real now, and you'll notice Tyler Lockett 2 for 19,
Oh, we
Jaxon
definitely noticed
Smith
that
and
too.
Jigba 10 for 110.
And 3 targets for Tyler Lockett, 11 for JSN, 9 for DK Metcalf. I mean, this is what we were hoping for when the Seahawks drafted JSN, which, like, John Schneider's tenure is a different topic, and feels slightly better today than maybe it did yesterday.
We're not complaining. We got no problem. Ricky Pearsall didn't even have a catch in this game. That's wild.
It is wild. But we were so excited when they drafted JSN, and the games that we've seen from him the last 2 weeks are exactly what we were hoping to see, and especially hoping to see for him, in this case, opposite DK Metcalf, but also stepping into that role, knowing that Tyler Lockett was probably headed into a different phase of his career. By the way, very funny that our guy—I've—I've already forgotten his first name. He did figure into returns.
Who,
White?
Grendo? Isaac Grendo?
No. The Seahawks receiver.
Oh, Laviska Shenault?
No, White. Do Kevin White? Is it the one who had a
I
big
think I forgot
game?
about this person also.
He just got signed to the active roster this week.
Who played well the
Anyways,
previous week against the Rams?
was not targeted in this game.
No, yeah, no targets. But I think this was the 2023 draft game, right? We hadn't seen a lot from Devon
Yeah.
Witherspoon in the season overall. There have been a few moments, and I think Mike McDonald, I think it, Spoon is just playing better, but Mike McDonald's starting to figure out how to use him. Some of the blitzing stuff didn't work really well. Brock Purdy, they're just good against those things. When I saw the blitz coming, I think this was on third down against on the last play from scrimmage for the Niners, and I saw the other full series. But when I saw that play happen, I was like, don't blitz, because they'd picked up a lot of third and longs in situations where the Seahawks were blitzing. Dropping people into coverage is what was working, and mixing it up, but it was kind of like, eh, we're telegraphing this a little bit. Spoon made some massive plays. Obviously, the tip that led to the interception, but a couple of breakups where you're looking at it and you're like, it was the ball that at the very end of the first half that the Niners inexplicably came out throwing and pretty almost threw an interception in that situation. Spoon made another great play that could have easily led to a pick, made some good tackles. Like, he had himself a day out there. And this is what we want. This is the next generation of the Seahawks. Whether it's Geno Smith or not, it is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. It is Devon Witherspoon. That's it. We didn't see a lot of Byron Murphy necessarily in this game, but D-line made some plays overall. It was, in the end, after you win, you can view it this way, it was a complete game from the Seahawks.
It was a Cody White, for the record.
Oh, yeah.
The last time before this, the 49ers had been held under 5 yards per play against any opponent was week 6 of last year, their loss at Cleveland, when the Browns were the number 2 defense, I think, in the NFL behind Mike
Yeah.
McDonald's Ravens in DVOA. So, yeah.
Okay. I have to go to Costco, but do we have any other thoughts quickly on this game?
I mean, it gives them a chance. I think people were. I think people were a little premature to write off the Seahawks playoff hopes because although it was a long shot, certainly, and the tiebreakers worked against them, there's just so much of the season left to play out. The biggest issue was that none of these ratings were rating the Seahawks very well. So that's the thing you can change the easiest is how good your team is rather than what happens with other teams. And we'll see, if against opponents that don't have their star pass rusher on the sideline, if the return of Abe Lucas is able to juice the offense as it was in the second half today. But there is still everything ahead of the Seahawks. And That probably would have been true even had they lost this game, but certainly with a victory in this game that now puts you, one game back of the Arizona Cardinals for the division lead. You haven't played the Cardinals yet.
Oh, the division lead's right there next week. It's for the taking.
The Rams, were not, I would, the Rams were impressive today, I guess. They were not impressive on Monday night last week. They still have
I'm gonna say the Rams were fine today. I
right.
watched weirdly a lot of that game. It was on Red Zone a little bit too much. And the Patriots hung around more than the Patriots should have hung around.
That's
I
fair. Yeah, the
actually
Rams defense was not very good, but the offense was better today.
I was thinking about a banner for coaches who kick field goals in situations when they should never kick field goals. And I was like, we should have an extended the game banner.
Oh.
Every time Jerod Mayo kicks a field goal when you're down 12 or whatever, and you cut it to 9, God, I can't
No, it
remember
was
who.
11 to 8. You're Mr.
No,
8 points as a one
that
score
was
man.
fine. It wasn't the worst one. There was one where I think this is Tennessee, was down 13 in the fourth quarter, kicked a field goal to cut it to 10. And I was like, hang the banner right there, extended the game.
Does that go to the left or the right of the DVOA championships?
That goes as far away from the DVOA championship as you can
It's
get.
the opposite side of the stadium.
That you bury it underground. The extended the game banner, along with the contract that you hired that coach for. But I just so many coaches extending the game today. I don't think either maybe there was a couple of situations when they could have gone for a fourth down, but didn't. Even the first series of the game, I was like, probably should go for this, guys.
Oh, they should have. Oh, they absolutely should have gone for it. But I knew they wouldn't. I mean,
Even the punt
most
at the
coach, the
very end.
vast majority of coaches wouldn't.
At the punt at the very end, Dan Lanning yesterday, fucking, I mean, I have literally drawn, my children have drawn, I maybe will post this in the Discord, which you should join if you're not on there, but post this in the Discord of my children have like Wisconsin signs everywhere. That is serious in the Carcino household. We are living and dying on that game. Dan Lanning went for the fake punt. Are you aware of this at all?
No, I only saw the interception that they had with Wisconsin driving down three.
Like earlier in the game, or the one that ended game.
The one that ended the game.
Okay, yeah, no, there were some takes about Braden Locke. By the way,
Well, I know the list.
quote, "You're worse than fucking Will Rogers."
Okay, well,
He
we'll call it
definitely
what
he
I call it,
def
but
he also QBR wise is worse than fucking Will Rogers.
I am intimately familiar with the Big Ten QBR leaderboard and the handful of quarterbacks who
I
are
was
below Will Rogers on 7-year
ranting and
board.
raving about how you're goddamn Wisconsin. How did you not find yourself a quarterback? Anyway, that is an aside.
Does Nate Tice not have any eligibility left?
Kyle Shanahan, it wasn't needlessly conservative though. There were a couple of moments where they probably should have gone for it. So nobody gets an extended the game banner this week, but I was thinking about that earlier when I was watching Red Zone and how many coaches get to hang the extended the game banner. They lost. They'll probably get fired, but you know what? That game was extended. Anyway, what a victory that the Seahawks had over your last place, San Francisco 49ers, in front of the biggest Niners fan that I'd seen on the sidelines. Maybe he should extend this vacation. Nick Bosa, retire, bitch!
On that note,
Thanks for listening.
thanks. We'll be back with our usual weekly pod, TBD which date, but we'll discuss Connor Williams' retirement. We'll
And
go
cookies.
through. Yeah, we've got
Connor,
multiple
who?
cookies. We'll
Who?
discuss UW football reaching bowl eligibility, some UW basketball games over the weekend, much, much to
God, we are
discuss.
so back. We are so back. Whew, we needed this one.